Welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. On this week's episode, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, Mom Wins, where we get into ninja moves and paying it forward. And we wrap it up with our BFPs and BFNs. Let's get to it. Hi, welcome to episode 92 of Big Fat Positive. Laura, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. How old's your baby? What's going on?
So my baby is 14 months old, and this week I have a little bit of a fail regarding his 14-month birthday, which is that, do you remember how I did, I did monthly photos, like, with the same backdrop and the same toy while he was an infant?
Oh, yeah. So cute.
Well, I had full intentions to keep that going after his first birthday, but his 13-month birthday rolled around, and did not get a picture. So I think the main problem is that it's really, really hard to get a toddler to, like, sit in one spot, even just for one quick photo. So,
oh, so you attempted it, but it was just, it failed.
No, I thought about attempting it and realized it was just going to be a nightmare. So,
oh, I see. Well, I commend you for even thinking about it, because to be honest with you, I have no awareness of my baby's monthly birthdays anymore. It's like once she hit a year old, it's just like a blur. The only reason I keep track is because of the podcast, it seems. Let alone taking a damn photo. I mean, I failed at that like at month two. So, well, I commend you, for your efforts.
Kids. You have two kids.
Yeah, true.
I'm in one kid world where every day is just a miracle. Every day is a miracle, no matter what. But indeed. But anyway, so I think I'm going to try to do every 6 months now.
Okay.
So check back, see if I actually do that. So this week, so as you know, I've been discussing the construction that's going on in the back of my house for a long time. It's been going on for almost a year.
Yeah, it really feels like 10 years. What is going on?
You tell me. It feels like 10 years. So supposedly, it's going to be actually for real done this week.
Good.
For real. And I think in no small part because Corey and I finally, like, broke down and wrote a very sternly worded email to the construction company and was like, what the hell is going on? You know, we need timelines. We need answers. And they jumped to attention and have sent a flurry of people over to do all kinds of stuff. And I think they realized they kind of screwed up. And I don't know if we got put on the back burner or what, or if they were taking advantage of us being nice. But we definitely had a much longer process than we should have, and I think they recognized that because they all of a sudden threw in a bunch of stuff. They're like, we'll take care of this and that and this, and we'll...
Good.
Yeah, so it's good. It means there's a couple more projects that they're, you know, working on that's taking a little more time. Like, they're replacing the side fence in our yard, which is great, and they're building a little, like, concrete bench that'll double as a retaining wall, yada, yada, yada. The point is that there's just a whole slew of dudes. I mean, I've not seen a single woman come through this whole time. It's always dudes. And I am sick of it. I am sick of every time I, like, peer out the window, some random dude is there, like, painting. Or there are a couple guys that are sort of more regulars, or, like, more regulars who come. And I, like, I know their names and whatnot. Those guys I'm cool with, but, like, the random people, it's just so weird. Like, and I'm still nursing, and so I'm constantly, like, drawing the blinds, and they always knock on the door and need something right when I'm nursing.
Yeah.
And I don't know what I would do if I wasn't staying home, because they're always, like, needing stuff during the day. I don't know how anyone gets this stuff done without being home, because there's just random, like, random inspectors will come and knock on the door at, like, 2 o'clock. I'm like, well, I'm glad I'm here. Like,
that's
no one
crazy.
Told me you were coming.
Yeah, that's so disruptive.
It is very disruptive. And it's disruptive to the baby's sleep because they're hammering and nailing and stuff. But I'm just trying to roll with it.
Uh-huh. Good, good, good. Well, I'm glad it'll be done soon.
It will.
Nothing's worse than creepy painter dude staring at you, staring at your boobs through the window.
My boobs. It's usually boobs, singular, because it's like one is out. Oh, and there was this one day this week where I got the baby down for his nap, and he's down to one nap now, right? Mm-hmm. We talked about how I went abruptly down to one nap, and it's been going pretty well, except for it's my only alone time during the day, right? His nap time.
Oh, yeah.
So I finally got him down for his nap this one day last week, and I, like, got him down. He fell asleep. I like go to sit on the couch and I'm just going to like finally have some alone time. I was going to like listen to my audiobook and like do something. And knock, knock, knock on the kitchen door. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the regular guys who's super nice. And he was like, oh, I'm gonna patch your ceiling and do this stuff. And I was like, oh, man. So like the entire 90-minute nap, it was a short nap for having one nap. I have a dude in my kitchen. And I like, you know, you can't relax. Even I didn't have to do anything, but it's not like I could putter around and clean the kitchen, you know?
Yeah, that's, yeah, especially because you have an open kitchen to the living room. And
yes, it was all open floor plan. It's so cool, open floor plan. Everyone wants an open floor plan until you have people working in your house. So anyway, but I'm looking forward to being done. And I'm trying not to look a gift horse in the mouth, but I'm just so ready to have my space back, you know?
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Yeah. And then the other fun thing that happened this week is my mom came back for a short visit.
Oh, nice.
A long weekend. And actually, she ended up staying at a hotel because the back was being worked on, which she didn't mind. I didn't have to twist her arm because she loves going to this fancy hotel nearby and like swimming in the pool and stuff. So we got to have like a little staycation. One day I knew they were going to be working, so I just like brought my toddler over and got a crib. The hotel gave us a crib and we like did his nap at the hotel. And so it was really, really fun to have that sort of mini staycation. And he's just so cute. So he's really just blossoming socially. I feel like, you know, in addition to his words and all his like gross and fine motor skills, he just is starting to really show a lot of affection to people when they show up. And he loves my mom.
Aww.
And whenever he sees her, he just gets this giant smile on his face, even when we FaceTime. And now he's starting to say his version of grandma, which sounds just like mama. But I figure, you know, it sounds the same, but I know that he means grandma when he looks at her and mama when he seeks me. There's like a tiny difference in the intonation.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, she'll show up and he just gets this big smile and he goes, Nana.
Aww.
And she's just so happy. And he does that thing where he leans over when you're holding him. He like leans over and wants her to pick him up. Like, wants her to hold him.
Grandma's dream.
Oh, I know. She's eating it up. Eating it up. But she, yeah, it's just super, super sweet. And I love watching them together. And it's so nice to have just another set of hands around. So yeah, that was our week. Lots of construction and grandma. Mama.
Sounds good. Mama. Yeah.
Oh, and she bought him a toy broom.
Finally, that kid gets a toy broom.
Well, and it's like almost, it's a big broom. It's not like a little itty bitty broom. It's like I'd want to say like 3/4 of the size of a regular broom. But it's like painted cool colors and it has like a bug, like the bottom looks like a bug, like a little bee or something.
Oh, cute.
Oh my God, does this baby love this broom. He calls it mop because he learned mop, but he can't say broom, but he can say mop. So all long cleaning things on sticks are mops. So she brought it over and he was just like, mop, mop, mop.
Oh my
so
God.
So cute. He walks around with it all the time. I'll have to post a picture of it. It's so cute. So we are all happy with our map broom.
Yeah. Aww.
What's going on with you guys this week? Are you feeling better?
Yes, I am feeling better. And Cece is 14 months and 3 weeks. And she has recently like come out the tail end of a leap, which, you know, during the stormy part of it, it was hard and she was very fussy. But I'm starting to see those developmental changes now.
Oh, yeah.
Which is so interesting. And for those of you who don't know what I'm referring to, there's a book called The Wonder Weeks, and they have an app that I use the app. And it talks about the cognitive leaps that a baby goes through where they're kind of predictable. They happen at a certain age and it's really tracked for my kids and I love keeping track of it. One thing I noticed is that she has, what I think, intentionally thrown her first tantrum.
No.
Like, and it wasn't horrible, but usually it's like just kind of like pick her up to redirect her at the library. And the second I touch her, she screams, you know, like, So I'm used to her like screaming and stuff. But there was something so specific about this thought process of what I'm about to talk about.
Okay.
So interesting. So we were in my bedroom and she saw the laundry basket, and I had recently like put her in the laundry basket and like carried her out to the laundry room, you know, because I was like, I'm doing laundry and it'll be a fun ride. And she loved it, right? Mm-hmm. She like wants to ride it in the laundry basket all the time now. And
created a monster.
Yeah. So she saw it, but it was full of clean clothes and I wasn't going to the laundry room and I just didn't want to give her a ride at that moment. Like, mm-hmm. I was busy. So she's like, and like holding the laundry basket and looking at me, And I said, no, we're not going to ride in the laundry basket right now. And she stopped and stared at me and processed the fact that I denied her. Mm-hmm. And then she let go of the basket, flopped on the floor and went, yeah! And just like howled like,
oh my God.
And it kind of cracked me up, you know, because.
Yeah. You know she's safe and well taken care of.
Yes.
Like, it reminds me of that thing. It's like, why is my toddler crying? It's like a meme, right? Where people post
I think we've talked about
hashtag.
That before. Uh-huh. Yeah, totally. It's like, oh, I won't let you, I won't fly you around the house in a laundry basket right now. You poor soul. So I was like, luckily she's still pretty easily distracted. So I was like, do you want to go find a box to sit in? And she's mm-hmm. like, yeah. She says yeah all the time now too. When I ask questions, yeah.
Cute.
Like, okay. And by the time we went like out to the living room to find a box, she'd completely forgotten about it and everything. But it was just that like mental connection. Like I said no. She thought about it, and then decided to pitch a fit. And I was like, oh boy, here we go.
That's funny.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that they kind of develop in this last leap, which is called the leap of principles.
The leap of principles? Mm-hmm. Is this the last? You're on the final leap?
No, I think leap nine. Let me
check. So when you say last leap, you mean the most recent leap.
Her most recent leap. Yeah. So they're kind of, when they're coming out of this leap, they're kind of understanding that there are many ways to accomplish a goal. Mm-hmm. So they can, you know, force their way, they can manipulate their way, they're like playing with different ways of getting what they want. And I just felt like that was such a, you know, she was thinking about it, she wanted to ride in that thing, and then she thought that if she would like throw a tantrum and show how upset she was, she would get her way.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was really clever. I don't know. I was kind of proud of her for that tantrum. Is that a weird reaction?
She wasn't just giving into her emotion. She was like trying to create a new reality for herself.
That's what it seemed like. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Oh, it didn't work. She didn't succeed, but that's okay. So I'm just like, oh boy, here we go with the tantrums. I feel like I'm just more girded up for tantrums mm-hmm. and stuff with the second kid because I've been through it before, and because Cece's been such a screecher and and crier from day one that I'm kind of just got this like emotional wall in a way that I'm not as scared to see her upset mm-hmm. as I was with Elle. Like, I would do a lot of things to, like, prevent her from feeling upset or crying. And I'm just like, well, Cece's a crier. There's nothing I can do about it.
Well, and you never had to do, like, sleep training with Elle, right? She just naturally slept through the night.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. I feel similarly because I used to think, oh, I could never hear my baby cry. It would break my heart. Then you do sleep training and you're just like, oh, yeah. Like, they cry. It's mm-hmm. not, that sounds callous. Like, people who are listening who probably haven't done it might be like, oh my God, that's so mean. But it's not about, it's just sometimes, I don't know, I don't think all babies are like this, but my baby and your baby, I think your baby more than my baby, they just have to like cry to let out emotion sometimes. Like, it mm-hmm. just has to happen.
Yeah.
It's like a pressure release valve in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like they're not attended to or taken care of. You know, I am worried about tantrums because I'm seeing little pre-tantrums in my guy, you know, doing the, like, what did you call it? The going boneless thing.
Yes.
And then, mm-hmm. you know, he has been on his stomach, like, and pounded the floor,
oh,
you know.
That's so classic.
I know.
Hilarious.
We talked about it in my mommy and me class, and my mommy and me teacher's sort of method of dealing with tantrums, she said, also, there's a way to sort of identify, there's like a difference between sort of a meltdown and a like full-fledged tantrum. Like, basically, it's so she sort of drew out a ladder, and like it was, you know, from being emotionally regulated to completely dysregulated. And her definition of a tantrum is like, there's literally nothing you can do but wait it out. Like, there's no intervention. There's no talking them out of it. There's no distracting them out of it. If they're truly in a real full-fledged tantrum, it's almost like they're having a seizure. Like, you basically just have make sure they're in a safe space and let them, like, work through it.
Mm-hmm.
That's her method. I haven't had to deal with one yet, so we'll see how it plays out when it comes time. I'm sure it's in my immediate future.
I get it, because even as an adult, sometimes like stress and pressure builds up, and I like try to keep myself together for so long, and then all of a sudden I mean, it's not like I have tantrum crying fits or anything, but sometimes like a good cry helps, or just like a, Steve, I need to vent to you. And like, I'm like, blah, 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 and then I'm like,
Yeah.
Like, I think my kids and baby need that too. You know, my kid and baby need that sometimes too. It makes sense. It's like an emotional release.
And I
accept it.
The other thing she mentioned was, you know, she had this sort of ladder from like the bottom was asleep, the top was tantrum, and the middle was like calm and, you know, calm and emotionally regulated. And there were sort of different levels, but you can imagine what they are, you know, like sleep, drowsy, you know, calm, whatever. It goes up all the way to tantrum. And she pointed out that like the center, like, you know, anywhere between like, slightly excited to calm, that's where learning can happen. But at the extremes, learning can't happen. When you're asleep or drowsy, learning's not happening, right? And we all know that. But when you're on the other end of it, when you're in like near tantrum or extremely emotionally dysregulated, you're also not going to learn. And of course, you're like, I'm not trying to teach my kid the alphabet when they're having a tantrum. But when you're talking about learning, it's like that reasoning, being like, I see you're tired and I see you're upset, but now, you know, we need to get out of Target before they call the cops on us. You know, like, they're not going to be able to hear that. You know, they're not in a learning state of mind. That was really helpful for me to think of, like, because I think I probably would be the mom who's trying to like reason through everything. I mean, it's taken me a really long time in my life to learn that I can't reason through all my emotions.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, sometimes when they're out of control like that, they just need our gentle guidance to affirm gentle guidance to get them to a safe place and let them work out their emotions. It reminds me of the first time that Elle, when she was maybe two, had a tantrum. And when I say tantrum, I'm not talking about that extreme, like, 10 out of 10 that you were describing, like, completely out of control. But, you know, on the higher end, she had that at the drugstore at Rite Aid. So her first, like, public meltdown. And, you know, everything I had read and learned kind of before that point was like, you know, just remove them from the situation. Even if you have to like leave your cart and just remove them calmly. And so it happened, and like we were in line, everyone was staring at us, and I was just like, we're leaving the store now. And that was it. And just like carried her out and carried her to the car. And I was just like, but you know, sweating bullets, because it's so embarrassing to have all that attention on you. And oh my goodness.
I feel like tantrums are also prime mom judging time, you know?
Oh, definitely.
You always hear from people about like, I would have done this or I would have done that. And I just,
No, you don't know until you're there. No. A really great book. We both love Janet Lansbury, and her first book, The Elevating Childcare, really deals with infants and babies. But now that our kids are toddlers, I recommend, if you haven't read it yet, and I recommend to our listeners, No Bad Kids. That's her second book.
I have not read it.
It deals with toddlers, and it is awesome because I'm sorry, but for me personally, toddlers are way more challenging than infants. And I had what I think was a kind of a challenging infant with Cece, but toddlers, because they've got will and, you know, vocabulary and more strength.
And they can run away from you.
And they can run away. It's harder. And so she gives a lot of great.
Fucking strong, too.
Yes.
I can't believe how strong he is sometimes, like pushing me away or, oh my God, like you can barely hold on to them sometimes.
Yes, it's really hard. Around 18 months, like massive car seat struggles started with Elle, and I was just constantly consulting this book, and I need to dig back into it. So this is also kind of a reminder for myself. Like, I need to go get that off my shelf.
Yeah, I need to read it. I'm going to get it. For sure.
So yeah, read that. And then the other thing, the only other little check-in this week that's really cute, you mentioned your guy showing more affection. Cece, same. Her affection is over the top right now. I mean, she gives hugs and kisses to everything. My dog Chili, she'll like, you know, put, you know, her head on him and then like kiss his fur. I'm talking bath toys. She gives hugs and kisses to her dolls, her stuffed animals, everything. And it's, and us too. Yeah. And oh my God, it's just so sweet and so cute. And it's just a wonderful thing about toddlers. It's wonderful. I love it.
Makes up for all the tantrums.
Yeah, exactly. Balances out. So.
My guy has learned how to blow kisses.
Oh, yes. I was going to mention that, too. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's so cute.
So cute. My girl does it wrong. She somehow, like, does it. She somehow decided it's on the back of her hand. Like, she kisses, like, the top of her hand and goes, mwah. So when she does it in public to strangers, they're just like, what is she doing? I'm like, she's blowing you a kiss. Bye-bye. That's how she says bye-bye.
Oh, that's so cute. He just never remembers to do it until after someone's left. That's we're working on it. Like, I'll be like, say bye-bye, blow a kiss, and like Corey will be leaving for work or whatever, and he'll just be sort of staring at Corey. The minute Corey's out of view, he's like, mwah, mwah, mwah. I'm like, baby, you gotta do it when he's in front of you. So we're working on that.
Oh my God, that's so cute. That's the same with her too. So anyway, those are my check-ins. Should we take a break and come back with our special segment, Mom Wins?
Yeah, let's do it.
Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know, they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why StoryWorth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give StoryWorth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted StoryWorth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
That's StoryWorth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at OneSkin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face. I've also been using the Eye Topical Supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP. Okay, so we are back with our special segment, and this week it is Mom Wins, where we talk about all the amazing, awesome stuff we've done as a mom lately, where we pat each other on the back and ourselves a little bit. So, Shauna, can you tell me about a mom win you've had recently?
Yeah, I have a couple. I'll start with this one.
Okay.
So, recently, Elle did her four-year appointment, checkup appointment at the doctor. I think I mentioned that in a previous episode. But what happened after that, I feel kind of ended up in a mom win. So I'm going to talk about that.
Okay.
So after the appointment, you know, she gets shots and, you know, all this stuff and blood draw. And she was such a trooper, so brave. And it was the appointment ended right around lunchtime. And my plan was to take her to school after that, you know, so she could just finish the school day. And I just had this impulse that that was going to be a horrible idea because dropping her off in the middle of the day is so hard. She like tantrums, fights it, especially after the doctor. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know, I'm just not going to take her to school. We're just going to have a day. And that meant I needed to take her to therapy with me because I had my own therapy appointment at 12:30. Oh, my God. And I've brought Cece before many times to therapy. And the therapist is great about it. He doesn't care at all. And this day, I just randomly showed up with my four-year-old. And I was like, hi, is it okay if she's here? Because there's like a $200 cancellation fee.
Oh,
you know,
my God.
Within 48 hours. So I'm not going to cancel this motherfucker. I'm like, come with me. I'm going to the doctor. Mm-hmm. You know, she's just like, what the hell kind of doctor is this? All you do is sit here and talk on a couch. But she was great. I gave her my phone and she just watched Paw Patrol. And I, you know, I didn't talk about anything extreme during the session. Just some little stuff. But so I was like, okay, I managed that. Good, good, good for me. And then I got home and then I had both girls and we needed to get out of the house. So I'm like, let's go take a walk to our local strip mall that we love so much and get some, some stuff at Sprouts, some groceries and stuff. So that meant Elle was riding her bike and her little tricycle has a big handle on it so you can kind of push her.
Oh, yeah.
If
those
she gets
are cool.
tired. Yeah, it's awesome. And then Cece was in the Bob, which is a ginormous jogging stroller, which I haven't used for jogging in like 3 years. but I love this stroller. So we're walking down there, and of course, halfway through this walk, Elle's like, I don't want to ride my bike anymore. I'm tired. And I'm like, well, all right. So she sits on the front of the stroller, the Bob, like extends out to a point so she can, mm-hmm. a small enough person can just sit there. And I'm like dragging this tricycle and with one hand and trying to push a Bob with the other. And we do this all the way through the grocery store through Sprouts because Elle's like, I don't want to ride my bike. And I'm like, oh my God. And so I got some groceries and we had to walk all the way home. I have two kids, a mm-hmm. stroller, a trike with a long ass handle and my groceries. I'm like, oh my God, what do I do? And then I had the genius idea to just take the trike, mm-hmm. turn it upside down, and shove it through the handle of the Bob. So literally everything was like attached to the Bob somehow. I threw the groceries underneath, threw the trike on top. Both kids were on it. And I just felt like a badass mom. Like, I'm just doing it right now. I've got everything under control. And we walked home. And we made the most of it.
You figured it out is what you did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I did. And that's kind of what you got to do most of the time.
Well, mine is actually very similar, so I feel like I should share.
Hilarious. What is yours?
Well, okay, so with the construction in back, one of the things they've been doing is they are breaking up a giant concrete slab in the back of our house and re-pouring concrete. So there were like 3 days we couldn't walk out back, and we live on a hill. So in order to get to our house, it's like street to street, right? So mm-hmm. if you park on the street in front, you have to walk up a pretty decent flight of stairs. Like, it's pretty steep, right? Mm-hmm. And if you park in the back, you park in the garage and you go down the stairs. But we couldn't park in the garage and go down the stairs. So that was fine. Before this happened, I decided I took one of our strollers and I brought it out front. And it's a folding one you can carry with one hand. So I was like, okay, I'll just, carry the stroller down the stairs and we can go on our walks. Mm-hmm. So I had been doing that. But then one day we went out on our walk, and because we're on this like new one nap schedule, I try to pack the morning full of like outdoor activities as much as possible to like get that sunlight, get that energy out, all that stuff. And so we went and we walked to this park nearby, and then I realized the park is really close to the Vons. So after he was done playing in the park, I was like, let's go to Vons and get some stuff. So I got enough stuff that I could like fill the bottom of this pretty big stroller. It's, I think, about the same size as a Bob, maybe a little smaller, but like it has mm-hmm. a pretty big undercarriage. And I got like a bunch of pouches. I got fruit, all the staples. So as we're walking home, I'm just like la-di-dying with all these groceries like piled into the bottom until I get to my street. And then I realize like, oh, shit. I can't park in the garage. Like, I was pushing the stroller, but normally I'd go to my garage and I could, like, leave the stroller in the garage. I wouldn't have to fold it. And then, I could carry the baby and the groceries. That'd be no problem.
Oh, right.
But then I realized I had to carry the baby, the groceries, the diaper backpack. Thankfully, it's a backpack.
Mm-hmm.
And the stroller. Because I can't just leave the stroller on the street.
Oh, my God.
And I am a person who does not like taking multiple trips. Like, my neighborhood is not so unsafe that I could, like, not leave my stroller for 5 minutes while I, like, took the groceries up and then came back down. But I didn't want to, like, go up that massive flight of stairs with the baby, then back down, then back up with the stroller. My legs were already tired. I'd been on, like, an hour and a half outing with the baby already. And he was getting grumpy, ready to go on his nap, get lunch, take a nap. So I remembered that I had my baby carrier in the bottom of the stroller, too. I was like,
oh, okay, nice.
I can do this. I can do this.
You got this.
So I strapped him in, this baby carrier. I got all the groceries out, which, by the way, I also remembered I had some reusable grocery bags in the bottom of my stroller.
Yeah, like, yes.
So I loaded everything up in the reusable bags, got him in the carrier, folded up the stroller. And I swear, I think I must have been carrying, let's see, the baby's about like 22 pounds, I want to say, probably another like 10 pounds of groceries. The stroller itself, I think, is like 15 pounds.
Oh, my God.
So I was carrying a load up those stairs.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it.
Yes.
And I felt, like you said, I just felt like a super mom. I was just like, yes, I can make it. I can. If I had bought one more thing at the grocery store, I think I would have been screwed, though.
Yeah, true. You instinctively bought the right amount.
Just the right amount. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's awesome. Good for you. And a workout to boot. So
yeah, I got my workout.
Exactly.
Real good. Anyway, do you have another one?
I do have another one. So this one also takes place in my favorite strip mall near my house because we walk there all the time.
I feel like we need to, like, you need to go do an Instagram live or something sometime and walk us around this amazing strip mall.
Oh, God. No, 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 no. See, this is part of the reason I need to move out of this neighborhood because this is like my life, is this damn strip mall. And part of the reason is half the time I don't have a car. Steve and I have one car and he takes it to work, and my mother-in-law has a car, and when she's here, I can use it and stuff, you know, when it's available. But I don't always have that. So we walk a lot to places, and it's so convenient.
And I should say, it's not like one little strip. It's a huge complex of stores.
Yes, it's a huge complex of stores. I'd say there's probably like 40 stores and restaurants and stuff. Yeah, it's very big. It's just getting old, Laura. I'd really rather walk to like a park or something like that. So anyway, and you probably also know over all these podcasts that I really love Jersey Mike's Subway sandwiches. I guess they're not Subway sandwiches. Subway is a separate sandwich shop. Sub sandwiches.
I think it's a regional situation. It's like hoagie, sub. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead. Yeah. I don't know what they are in Jersey.
No. Yeah. I don't know. So Cece and I walk down to Jersey Mike's to get some sandwiches, get some fresh air, and I'm standing in line, and I order my sandwiches, and I'm like, you know, I need some extra chips because I just never have enough chips, and I want to have, like, chips for later, so I got, like, extra chips, and I just really, like, indulged in this order for some reason, and got up to the cash register, and I should mention that Cece and I were really on point with our fashion this day. You know, I was pushing her in her little pink car, her little convertible car thing. And I was, for some reason, wearing the hot pink shirt that I got for her birthday party. So we were just a pink explosion. I think we really stood out, you know, me and this baby in line at Jersey Mike's. And I go to pay. And all of a sudden, the man behind me kind of like butts up and gets a little bit too close.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm kind of like, what's his deal? And he starts talking to the cashier, and I'm like, dude, I'm checking out here. Like, relax.
Yeah.
And he goes, no. All of this stuff, put it on my bill. And I was like, what? And what? And he's like, pointed at all of my food that I had just bought. Uh-huh. Well, not bought because I hadn't paid yet. He's like, all this stuff, it's on me. It's on me. And me and the cashier were both looking at each other like, really? He's like, yeah. I'm like, are you sure? And he's like, yeah. He's an older man, probably in his, like, you know, early 70s. He's like, I'm retired, and I like to pay it forward. My wife is a labor and delivery nurse, and you've got such a cute baby, and aww, I just want to pay it forward. And he bought me, like, $20 worth of food, and I was like, okay.
That's so sweet.
I'll accept that. I know. So sweet. And I just felt stunned. I don't know. No one's ever done anything like that, you know? And it was really nice. And I just grabbed my stuff and left. And as we were walking home, he drove by in his SUV and he beeped at us and waved. And I waved back and was like, aw.
How cute is that?
It made me feel good about the world. And clearly, I'm taking this as credit for myself and Mom Wins, which really has nothing to do with me.
Well, obviously, your cute pink shirts elicited this free lunch.
Yeah. It's a win that I had as a mom, I guess.
Well, it's nice. It's a nice compliment. It makes you feel good. Like, it's good. It's a good thing. A good thing happened.
It was really sweet. And it started to make me think, like, maybe I should do that for someone. I'm so shy. Well, that's not true. I'm not shy, but I get weird about, I don't know, interacting with strangers sometimes.
Me too.
At Starbucks, you know, after this, and there was a mom with twins in front of me, and I was like, oh, I should pay it forward and buy her drinks. And then I had this impulse, and then I was like, no, that's weird. And then I just didn't do it. And I'm like, I don't know. When you just go for it, you can make someone's day.
There's still time.
Yes, exactly.
The great thing about paying it forward is there's not a timeline on it. So
yeah. So maybe I'll challenge myself to do that, you know, for
that's fun.
For a mom in particular, I think would be a cool thing to do. Someone with a baby and just brighten her day a little bit. So that, yes, that's my second mom win. Do you have another one? Should we maybe come back after the break and hear yours?
Okay.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna,
Think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor. And I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important. And therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although of course it is helpful in those situations too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's best sellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicones, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you.
Okay, we are back, and Laura has one more mom win. What you got?
Okay, mine's really quick.
Okay.
But I feel like a superhero for this. So when we are getting ready for bedtime, we have this whole routine, and it involves going to our futon. There's a futon in the baby's nursery. Mm-hmm. And we like do our diaper change on the, straight from the bath. So we put it on the diaper and we put on the sleep sack and the jammies and all that stuff on the futon.
Okay.
And the futon, it's not high off the ground. It's a low futon. But recently, you know, he's been very energetic at bedtime for the most part. And he likes to like sit up and play with things. And he's been doing this thing where he likes to flop back onto the futon, right? And that's fine, I guess, as long as there's nothing behind him. But one night we were getting ready and it was a night when Corey was working late. And so I was doing bedtime all by myself, which is already like, you're harried and you're tired and blah, blah, blah. And it's just like a lot to keep track of. And I'm about to get like lotion. I'm putting lotion on my hands and I'm about to like put it on the baby. And I look over and he's sitting kind of close to the edge. And then he goes to flop back, but he's on the edge. And I, without even like thinking, just like shoot my hand out and I caught him.
Whoa.
Centimeters above the ground.
Oh my God.
And because of the way he was falling back, his like legs were, you know, still on the futon, but he was still in the sitting position. And
yeah.
He would have been fine. Like, this is not a life and death situation, but it would have been a bonk and he would have been really upset before bed. And instead, I just had these like very fast reflexes, just like shot my hand out, caught him, and he thought it was hilarious.
Oh, good. I'm glad
he thought it was the funniest thing that's ever happened. He was like on his back.
Great. He's going to be throwing himself off futons now.
I know. I hope he hasn't repeated it, thankfully. That's but good. Oh my God. But I just felt, I was like, oh my God, how did I do that? Like, I didn't even register. It was so fast. It just happened.
Yes. The mom instincts, they are wild. You're like a ninja.
It's amazing. And so I felt very proud that I like had figured that out and like my body did it without my mind thinking about it. Mm-hmm. And then it made me think also of, have you seen those video compilations of like dad saves? Like basically it's just a whole compilation of like dads grabbing kids midair, basically.
I think I know what you're talking about, but there's something also just like very chill about the way dads do it. Like they're just standing there and all of a sudden like their hand will go whoosh,
yeah,
and
yeah.
Just like snap out and catch a kid or something.
Yeah, yeah. They're like still holding their beer, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I felt like that. I felt like I was saving my baby midair, but
yeah.
Yeah, that made me feel very good and protective. And I need to teach him to not throw himself off the futon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be good. Nicely done, Laura.
Thank you.
Round of applause for you.
You too. Round of applause for you.
Thanks.
Trying not to do it too loud into the mic and make everyone upset. So should we move on to our BFPs and our BFNs?
Let's do it.
So every week we close our show with our big fat positives or big fat negatives of the week. Shauna, do you have a BFP or a BFN for us?
I have a BFP.
Wow, that was a roller coaster.
Ah, I tried to emotionally control you and my listeners.
Psychological manipulation.
Oh, well, that leads perfectly into my BFP.
Okay.
We did not plan this, okay? This is perfect.
It's just because you psychologically manipulated me into using that term.
I did. I must have. Wow, I'm more genius than I give myself credit for. My BFP this week is The Happy Song.
Okay.
Do you know about this?
No.
Okay. I'm excited to tell you. So The Happy Song, I came across recently. Someone shared it in one of my mom's groups. It's a song by Imogen Heap. She's an English musician. Do you know of her at all?
I know she exists. I can't name one of her songs. But
Okay.
You don't forget the name Imogen Heap.
No, you really don't. And I was actually familiar with her because she used to be in a band called Frou Frou.
Okay,
she was Frou Frou.
I do know because I know that song from the Garden State soundtrack.
Yes. I think that's really where she came to be well known. I saw her years and years ago when I first moved to LA at Spaceland, when Spaceland existed. It's a club Silver Lake.
It's back.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it changed to something else, and I think now it's back to being Spaceland.
Cool. Well,
so that's the one that's like, let go. It's all like airy and stuff, right?
Yes,
that's the one?
Okay. She's a very airy, like pretty high voice singer. I love her. I've been a fan of hers for years. So anyway, I was like, oh, Imogen Heap, I got to check this out, The Happy Song. And the real reason I wanted to check it out is because this song was scientifically engineered to make babies happy.
What?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so I didn't know the backstory when I first discovered it. I knew that it was scientifically engineered to make babies happy, so I had to learn what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
So it turns out, so there's a British baby food company called Cow and Gate.
Okay.
And their advertising agency actually came up with this idea to scientifically create a song to make babies happy. So it's a little bit like commercially driven, but that does not matter to me. It does not matter. So they hired some child psychologists, music psychologists, a bunch of scientists to, first of all, ask parents, lots of parents, like 1,000 parents, like what sounds make your babies happy? And they collected all these different sounds. And then they did tests. There's a video on their website of how the song was made. You can see they like played these sounds for babies and put like little heart monitors and stuff on them to check their heart rate and like their brain activity when they heard certain sounds. And so they got all this data and turned it over to Imogen Heap and said, use this information about what stimulates babies the most and turn it into a song. And she did. And it's really cute. It starts with like a little baby laughing, and it's got lots of like rings and dings and tweets and whirs and roars. And okay, you know how my baby is, right? She can be utterly inconsolable when she gets into one of her fits.
She has strong opinions. Yeah.
She has extremely strong opinions. One thing I've always struggled with, especially if she wakes up too soon from a nap, she's furious. I mean, she just wakes up in this, I just don't even know how to describe it, just kind of like a white heat, frantic, screaming, crying state that is very hard to get her out of. It can often last like 30 minutes. Sometimes I have to go outside, like do something to distract her. So I was like, I got to try this song on my baby. I was completely skeptical. I was like, there's no way my baby is going to respond to this song.
Yeah. I mean,
what are your thoughts?
Yeah. My concern is that it might be annoying AF, but also that like anything to make the babies happy is preferable to them screaming. So yeah, I'm skeptical, but because it's your BFP, I have a feeling it works.
Well, look, my life since having kids is full of annoying songs, you know, it's par for the course in my house. So I'm like, I'm going to put this on. Mm-hmm. She woke up unhappy. And I remembered that I'd seen this in my Facebook feed. And I was like, Alexa, play the happy song by Imogen Heap. And it starts going, starts with this little ha 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 baby laughing. And Cece, Alexa, oh my God.
I was just going to say, I bet there's listeners who have like Alexa responding. And then yours just did.
It did. Although the one in my room is not too smart. She's like, I don't understand.
Oh.
Yeah. So the baby starts laughing at the beginning, and Cece like instantly stopped crying. She looked over at the speaker, and it was almost like just something like shook her out of that brain space for a second. Like she just was so curious to tune into something else. And then the song starts and it's very catchy. It's like do 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 do. You know, should we play a little bit? Are we allowed to play a little bit?
I think we could play like 15 seconds for fair use.
Okay. I'll play a little bit, Laura, so you can hear it.
I want to hear because I have no idea. This all just sounds like weird Frankenstein music to me.
Well, she's a legit musician. It's not she put together like clinks and clanks from tin cans or something. And I should say that she's also a mom of a toddler. At least when she wrote the song, her baby was a toddler. Mm. So I think the video shows her getting a lot of input from her baby.
She knows the struggle. Really cute.
Yeah. She knows the struggle. She knows the audience. Let's see.
Bring, bring on the bicycle. Beep, beep in the car. Ping, ping, a submarine.
Helicopter.
That is actually very cute. And I'm going to go listen to the whole song soon.
Yeah, it's cute. It's like 2.5 minutes. So I was like, okay, so it worked this one time. I was thrilled, right? I'm like, oh my God, maybe it is a happy song. And that was the first time I heard it. And I was like, that's really cute. You know, I like her voice. I think it's pretty and light and airy. Mm-hmm. And I have been playing it a few times a day, not just when she's freaked out, but, you know, just to kind of brighten the mood. And now that Cece recognizes the song, it's like her reaction is even more over the top. Like she'll stop what she's doing, look at the speaker, smile instantly when she hears that opening baby laugh. And then when Frufru or Imogen Heap starts singing, she will like dance, like stand in place and like stomp her feet and dance. Aww. And like, I mean, it makes her so happy. And Elle loves it too. She asks to hear it all the time now. And in turn, it makes me happy. I mean, I love that I have this little trick, at least for now, to like snap her out of these crazy fits.
That's amazing.
And I really want you and like the listeners to try it too and see what you think and if it works for you or not.
Yeah, we need to do like hashtag happy song challenge and like record our babies listening to it for the first time. I'll do that.
Yes.
And we'll post it.
Oh my gosh, I love that idea. I really hope it works for people because I am so bought into this. I love it. I will say I have not bought any Cow and Gate products since hearing the song. So I don't know how good of a marketing tool it is, but I just really love it. So I'm sharing that with everybody.
The cynic in me wants to download it and like look and see if there's like hidden tracks where it's like, buy Cow and Gate fun baby products, you know, like just very subtly underneath everything.
Oh, it's just a subliminal message the entire song.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, the baby babbling is like just that backwards. Also, Paula's dead.
Who?
Oh, do you not know?
What?
There's that thing with the Beatles. It was, I can't remember if it was Abbey Road or what, but there was some like, I think it was Abbey Road, where like if you played the album backwards, it supposedly at some point it like said Paul is dead. And so like it started this conspiracy theory that Paul McCartney was dead and they like replaced him with another person.
Started.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Yeah, maybe they threw that in there too.
You never
Why
know.
Not?
Why not? Okay, I can't wait to try this.
Yes, let me know for sure. What about you? What do you have this week?
Well, I have a BFN.
Okay.
Which is wrapped up in a BFP. Well, no, it's all related. So I think I had mentioned that my baby is walking well now, but he couldn't stand up from the ground, from the flat ground. He needed like something raised to push up on to get to standing. Well, now he can totally stand up straight from the ground. He just like it clicked and he can do it, which means he can like get up and running from anywhere, which is great. The BFN part of this is that we've been going to a lot of parks now because, like you had mentioned, once the baby can actually walk well, you're like, we can go to parks again. Like, they can run around. It's so great.
So great.
And the weather's been so nice. So we went to this local park recently that's gorgeous and lovely and kind of set up shop underneath a tree. And I didn't notice at the time, but there were just a lot of little sticks around that had fallen off the tree. And my BFN are those freaking sticks because my baby, toddler, running toddler, all he wants to do now is pick up a stick and run with it.
Oh, no.
And it is giving me anxiety. And then when I take it away from him, he loses his shit. Like, you know, I'll be like, baby, we can't, you know, stop. We can't. It's dangerous to run with sticks. I have to take that stick away from you. But look at all these toys and look at all the rest of the park. No, you try to do the wry stuff with him, take the stick out of his hand gently, and he does the flopping fish on the ground, you know, like, like you've ruined his life.
Yes.
And then he's like, oh, you haven't ruined my life because there's 500 other sticks here. Let me just go grab them. We had to leave the park. Like, I was so mad. I don't know if I hadn't noticed this at the park before, and I'm hoping it was just a thing. Like, I think this park is very well maintained, so I'm hoping they come and like sweep up. I know sticks are going to happen at a park, but like,
how big are these sticks? What are we talking?
They're like, I want to say like 2 to 3 inches long. It's perfect poke the eye out length, you know? Just like
you could
perfect.
Just put swimming goggles on him while he plays at the park.
Yeah, that'll go over really well. Oh, man. I have to figure out what to do about that because this is his new game. He thinks it's hilarious to, like, pick up something dangerous and then run with it. And I'm just like,
no.
So that is my BFN. Parks
with
sticks.
Yeah, that's tough. That's parks in general with babies that run are tricky. Recently, we went to our local park and I was letting her kind of have free reign of the grass and area and stuff. And she just started like kind of running towards the street, which, you know, I can catch up with her and stop her. But I noticed that she was running in the direction of a single woman in her maybe 20s or 30s sitting on a wall that just for some reason from a short distance gave me the heebie-jeebies. And I was like, oh, man, don't run towards that person, please. I don't want to interact with that person right now because I'm a bitch. But I didn't want to, like, stop my toddler and obviously move her away from running towards the person because I also want to come across as polite.
Yes, yes. Being polite very, very, very much overrides a lot of other things. No, I get it. I'm with you. Like, I feel bad. What happened the other day? Oh, so I was at a stoplight behind another car.
Uh-huh.
And I was just, you know, waiting for the light to turn. The light turned green and the car didn't go. So I like lightly tapped on my horn because I figured they were looking at their phone or whatever. And so then the car left and I realized that like, but then I noticed that there was a person who was asking for money on the corner. And like, they had like summoned the guy over and was like about to give him money, but then they took off because I honked.
Oh, you racked up some bad karma points for that one, Laura.
I felt so bad. And then I was like, I was like, do I circle back around? I don't have cash for this guy. I felt really, really bad. Although I kind of feel like if it was a big enough deal, the person wouldn't have driven away just because I lightly tapped on my horn.
Uh-huh.
Like, it wasn't like a, nah, move, you asshole. You know, it was just so I don't know. Maybe I read the situation wrong, but I felt like a real jerk.
Yeah.
I don't know if that it's related to your situation.
The person in front of you perhaps felt like they wanted to be polite in going when they're honked at. Mm-hmm. So it stopped them from, you know, there's just so much wrapped up in like trying to be a polite person in society. It bugs me when it goes against my gut. I mean, this person was not dangerous or anything. I don't think that Cece was going towards. It's just like, you know, I don't know. Well, my gut was spot on this, you know, just like I didn't want to get in a conversation with this person because mm-hmm. Cece just went straight to this person and we got so close that the woman turned around and was like, oh, cute baby. And I was like, oh, thanks. And I was like, all right, let's go back to the playground, Cece. And she's like, oh, I'm just waiting for my ride. I'm not sketchy. I'm not doing anything weird. I'm just trying to sell these magazines here because I just got out of the hospital. I had 17 surgeries in the last 2 months. I got in this car accident. I mean, and she just like went on and just like telling these wild things. And I'm just like, I don't want to be in this conversation right now. And I felt like she was definitely trying to get me to buy her magazines, you know, without. So I was just like,
that's a
lot. Oh, Cece, why did you have to go make a beeline? Like, there's no one else anywhere in the park. So toddlers running. Yes. The hazards of toddlers running in parks.
They could poke an eye out. They could accidentally buy new magazine subscriptions that may never come.
Right. The dangers are real, people.
The dangers are real. But I am very, I just watching him run around the park is so cute. And I swear he went from 0 to 60. Like, he's running. It's not like knees up running, but he's fast.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fun and scary.
So cute. It is. It's really scary. Cece runs around the house and Elle chases her, which is very cute because Cece like giggles uncontrollably and thinks it's hilarious. But she's running around corners and edges French doors and the windows. And I'm just like, oh, my God, slow down. And she gets hurt constantly. And it's like, oh, this old hat at this point. But yeah, I hear you. We need to get our babies together though, so they can run it
chase
out together.
Each other. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, my God. Cute, cute, cute.
Well, one week we will both be healthy and hopefully we won't all be mandatory quarantined.
I know, right? I'm already like, should I see you? Do you not want to be around my family who's constantly sick? I don't know. We'll wait. We'll wait till like maybe August or something.
Yeah, August.
August. Your mom's favorite baby name. It all comes full circle.
It does. Anyway, should we wrap things up?
Yes. Listeners, if you're going to play the happy song for your baby, send us a message, a video, let us know. Laura, how can they reach us?
We are on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at BFP Podcast. We also have a Facebook community group. Just search for Big Fat Positive Community. Request to join. It's a closed group, but I will add you right away, and you can join in our awesome conversations we're having in there. Everything from breastfeeding to sleep schedules to just pictures of adorable newborns. It's great. You can also send us a voice memo or just a plain old email to contact@bigfatpositivepodcast.com or visit our website, bigfatpositivepodcast.com.
And we want to thank you all for just killing it in the spreading the word department. We're getting more listeners every day, and we thank you so much for spreading the word to your newly pregnant friends, your new parent friends, your friends who are trying to conceive. Thank you, thank you. Keep it up. And thank you for everyone who's given us a review. It's so, so helpful. So please, if you haven't done that yet, go out and give us a rating and review on whatever platform you listen. Big Fat Positive is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager.
Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Bye.